Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for being here, despite it being a good, lovely, sunny day here in D.C., and you chose to be here for my presentation, so thank you. My name is Anamika Barman Adhikari, and as Michelle indicated, I'm a third-year PhD student at USC, and my co-author on this presentation is Dr. Eric Rice, who is in the audience. As the title suggests, the purpose of the study was to look at and understand why, in what ways homeless youth are using the internet to seek sexual health information, and whether the connections that they make online and the kind of conversations that they have in this network spaces, does that have anything to do with their online help-seeking behaviors? So just a disclosure, I have no financial conflicts of interest to disclose, so there it goes. I guess it makes it formal. So one might ask, why internet use? As we all know, internet use among housed or domiciled youth is pervasive. And there has been a fair amount of work that has looked into internet use and its effect on help seeking among this particular population, the housed population. And a lot of the activities that they engage in online mimic what they do offline, such as, you know, give advice to their peers, post their own issues, with the caveat being that the internet offers more anonymity. So it's very popular in terms of seeking information about sensitive issues like such as sexual health. However, the role of the internet among vulnerable youth, such as homeless youth, has been relatively less investigated and needs more attention. And that's what we wanted to do with the study. So just to give you a background, some background information on why we chose to focus on health and particularly sexual health information. It's because homeless youth have been documented to have a disproportionate, engage in a disproportionate amount of risk behaviors or sexual risk behaviors and have a very high HIV prevalence rate of about 2 to 11% depending on city and STD rates of about 67%. And studies show that formal service use among this population is very low due to various reasons, such as their skepticism of authority figures and their distrust towards any adult figure. So given that we know that they engage in a number of risk behaviors, we thought it was important that we document other channels through which they might receive their health and sexual health information from. And the internet, as we know, has been used by other youth, so we wanted to see if homeless youth do that as well. One of the reasons why we chose the internet is because studies among homeless youth show that they tend to rely on informal sources, such as their friends, television, and more recently, the internet. But at the same time, you have to be careful where they get their information from, because as we know, the internet facilitates social networking with online and offline relationships. And we know that social network processes among homeless youth are tied to their risk behaviors among homeless youth are tied to their social network processes. More specifically, youth with more risk-taking peers are more risk-taking, and youth with more pro-social and home-based peers are less risk-taking. So in the context of this particular study, we hypothesized that the internet will facilitate connections to these more pro-social home-based relationships, such as parents, relatives, siblings, and peers that they had before they became homeless, and that would consequently influence the adoption of more proactive help-seeking behaviors. So the primary research questions driving this study were, we wanted to see how many homeless youth were using the internet to seek sexual health information. Were there any individual characteristics that differentiated the ways in which these youth chose to engage in what kind of information that they were looking for online? And most importantly, we wanted to see whether the connections that they were maintaining online via email or Facebook or MySpace, and whether what kind of conversations they were having in these spaces, how did that reflect their help-seeking behaviors online? So the conceptual framework was based on two well-known models of health service use. One is pretty popular, the Anderson behavior model, and the other one was Pesco-Solido's network episode model. The Anderson behavioral model has been widely used with varying amounts of success, and a lot of you might know that he categorizes predictors of service use as predisposing, which is sociodemographics, enabling factors, which he describes as community resources that might facilitate or deter use, and lastly, need. Basically, these are impairments that might require a person to seek help. However, Anderson himself acknowledged that his model does not really capture the full spectrum of social network interactions that people engage in, and that might explain the low amount of variance that his model has explained across studies. So therefore, we chose to augment this conceptual framework with Pesco-Solido's network episode model and placing it where Anderson himself suggested, in the enabling factors. And it's enabling, we thought it's enabling because attitudes towards health seeking are often not individualized or not rational, and they're rooted in a person's social network. And network interactions not only influence how they identify with the problem, but also what they do about the problem. So this is kind of the conceptual framework. And basically what you see under each of these boxes are the variables that we used to operationalize the different the conceptual categories. So in terms of data collection and sampling, we collected the data May 2009 in Los Angeles at a drop-in center. The sample size was 201, and clients aged 13 to 24 were eligible to participate. But for this particular analysis, we used a subsample of 172 youth who were literally homeless, that is, sleeping on the streets or staying in shelter services or temporarily housed. In terms of the demographic characteristics, a majority of the youth were African-American, male, and indicated that they were literally homeless, that they were sleeping on the streets or couch surfing, did not have any stable abode. The first question, one of the questions we had was how often and how many homeless youth do spend time online, especially because they are so resource poor and might not have access to the internet. We were surprised to find that a majority of the youth, about 28%, indicated that they spend time online every day, and about 24% indicated that they spend more than an hour a day. And the next question, which is very important when it comes to policy implications or programmatic implication, is where are they gaining access? Because a lot of them don't have personal internet access or even access to a computer. A number of them indicated that they preferred the public library to gain access to the internet, with a youth service agency coming a close second. And who do this youth connect with online? Because our main hypothesis was that internet facilitates connections with home-based ties. So as you can see, a vast majority of the youth indicated that they used the internet to connect to parents, siblings, relatives, or other home-based peers. So these are the outcomes that we looked at in terms of what do they look for online. So about 62% of the youth indicated that they looked for sexual general health information. The second preferred online information was HIV STI information, with sex information coming in third and HIV testing information coming in fourth. So in terms of the data analysis plan, because we were working with a small sample size and we wanted our model to be as parsimonious as possible, and we couldn't possibly include all the variables that we had identified. So we ran a series of bivariate regressions and included only the independent variables that were significant with any of the outcomes at p less than 0.10. And the specification, all the variables were kept consistent across the models to assist in cross-model comparison. So based on the bivariate regressions, we found that being literally homeless, HIV knowledge, a history of sexual activity, and history of HIV testing were not significantly associated and were removed from the final multivariate models. So these are some of the results. We found that males were less likely to look for sexual information, almost 74% less likely. Gay males were 10.6 times, almost 11 times more likely to look for sex information. And having personal internet access was associated with looking for sexual information. In terms of HIV STI information, again, being a gay male was associated with a 10 times more likelihood of looking for HIV information. Having personal internet access was associated with a 4 times likelihood of looking for HIV information. And as we had hypothesized, the connections to parents, which is considered pro-social, was associated with almost a 4 times likelihood of looking for HIV information. And the content of interactions, what kind of conversations do they have online, receiving health forwards was significant and 4 times increased the likelihood of looking for HIV information by 4 times. HIV testing information, mixed race, youth of mixed race were less likely to look for HIV testing information. And in terms of conversations, both receiving health forwards and talking about sex online was associated with a 2.4 times increase in likelihood of looking for HIV testing information. We see similar results for general health information. Being African American and of other races was reduced likelihood of looking for health information. And being a daily internet user was associated with a 2.4 times more likelihood of looking for this kind of information. So as we see kind of some of the results being significant across all the models and salient across all the models, which calls for broader implications, we found that gay males were more likely than any other gender or sexuality to look for especially sex information and HIV information. And this could be because of two reasons. Maybe they have a higher perceived sense of vulnerability and are aware of the risks they are taking, or it might parallel the perceived or real discrimination that they face in traditional healthcare settings, which might prevent them from accessing services there, and they might prefer the internet. White youth were more likely in a lot of these models to look for HIV or sexual health information online, and this might reflect the digital divide that we see in the housed population. And having access to the internet was also significant, which has huge policy implications, which I'll discuss in the subsequent slides. So youths who had access to the internet were more likely. And as we had hypothesized, you know, having connections to parents were critical and did invoke more pro-social help-seeking behaviors. So basically some of the implications are, in terms of what we found and having real implications, policy or programmatic implications, since we know that that homeless youth are using the internet at such a high rate, possibly the internet could emerge as a complementary avenue through which interventions can be delivered. It's also very cost effective, as we all know. This in no way suggests that we should replace face-to-face interaction, but this could probably act as an avenue through which we can get this youth to trust providers and access more formal services. And also, the internet could allow personalized content to be tailored for these youth situation. And also the internet could be used as a means of maintaining contact, especially with homeless youth who are so transient. If social workers get their permission to contact them online or even through their Facebook pages, they could be reminded of their appointments, or they could be referred to other service providers that they really need help from. And it would be prudent to access internet access at social service agencies, but with the caveat being that they should be monitored because it can also be used for nefarious purposes such as online partner seeking. Limitations of the study, it was a non-probability sampling, so not really generalizable. We cannot really draw any causal explanations because it was cross-sectional. And what we really hoped for and wanted in our data was that we wanted some details about who they were receiving this information from, and specifically which members were they receiving these health forwards from, or who they were talking to about sex online, because this could have a very broad clinical intervention impact. And this data was self-reported, so there is some concerns about accuracy. Finally, I just wanted to thank my mentors, Husky Award, made this study possible, and our community partners, My Friend's Place at Hollywood, and most importantly, the youth of Hollywood who participated in this study. Thank you.